Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special episode of Uncanny Treks as Matt and Bob continue our journey through the Blade and Wingo Fantastic Four run. We are on Volume 3, Fantastic Four Authoritative Action. That is issues 503 through 508. I am Bob in Cascadia. That is Matt in the Southland. Matt, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right, Bob. This is a crazy comic. I texted you during the middle of reading. Wow. Fantastic Four can go nuts.
Did you enjoy your Iraq War allegory, Matt?
Oh, yeah. A lot of Iraq War type stuff. A lot of taking over other nations, foreign nations, and hit or miss artwork. But we're pretty good.
That micro.
I'm being nice to the man. I'll be nice to him. But I just want to point out something because I reopened the issue. I hadn't looked at it in a while. And there's this really awesome Fantastic Four store on the first page where they're selling action figures and all this cool stuff. But if you look at their faces, every child looks like an adult. I think Mark Waringo just doesn't draw children very well. That's all it is.
I think he draws Frank and Val, okay.
Look at these kids. They look like adults. They look like the faux Reed and Sue here. He did hit them spot on, I'll give you that. That is what they would look like.
I find scenes in the Fantastic Four store so painful that I kind of just glide.
I just said, look at the images, look at the kids' heads. They look like adults, but it's okay, dude. The art's fantastic.
So to start with issue number 503, Matt, part one of Authoritative Action, what goes down in issue 503?
Well, Bob, in issue 503, Reed Richards declares Latveria as his own.
Indeed. And, you know, listeners, this is the comic where Reed Richards sort of becomes Dr. Doom in multiple senses. It's interesting in that way. But I did want to begin on a grim note of geopolitics, because early in this first issue, you have Hungary trying to invade Latveria. Man, I really didn't appreciate when I first read this comic a few years ago that Mark Waid really just called Hungary going fascist. I saw Hungary return into fascism, he called it. But I would say my favorite panel is, obviously we already saw Reed's scarred face in the last arc, in the Unthinkable arc. But we get a nice re-reveal of it in this issue. And sometimes it's good to have a re-reveal. Sometimes you got to catch people up.
The scarred face is why he's real upset. I think that's a big piece of this. And we'll see this throughout the issues. There's a pretty common trend of that scarred face means a lot more than we think it does.
Indeed. And I also do like the whole premise, beyond this being obviously a big Iraq war, a big nation-building allegory, which it totally is. I do like the basic idea of, okay, the FF does have to secure Doom's mad scientist technology in Latveria. Doom has huge weapon caches. They have to get there before all the evil villain organizations do. I think that's a pretty good idea for a plot.
It's brilliant. And that's why this was such a fun story. They're just going there to denuke Latveria.
Yeah, man, it's all about them WMD.
It is.
About that weapons of mass destruction.
About the year before this was around then, right?
2003.
Early aughts. So yeah, you get the idea.
Oh, as a side note, Matt, have you ever listened to the podcast Blowback?
I have not.
You should. The first season is the Iraq War season. It's about 10 episodes and they're well edited, very fast paced, a lot of interesting music samples and samples from the media. And it'll just make you remember how criminal and stupid the Iraq War was.
It really was, Bob. And that hints a little bit of my favorite panel here in the comic. There's this great action shot of the Fantastic Four, and they think they're here to be the heroes. We're here to save Latveria from this invasion. And then the next thing you know, they're throwing rocks at them, because the people of Latveria, they don't like the Fantastic Four, Bob.
A decade of Dr. Doom propaganda that they're terrible.
Exactly, Bob. So the rock in Sue Storm's being thrown at Sue Storm's head, it's a common hero trend. We see it with the most recent Superman trailer where, you know, David Corsant's getting a can, Campbell's soup can knocked, thrown on the back of his head. They changed the flinch. In the original trailer, he flinched when he gets hit by the can. In the new trailer, he doesn't flinch.
Oh, man. Poor David Campbell, or whatever his name is. I know this didn't actually happen, but I imagine they're tying him down.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing this until you don't flinch.
Keep that straight face. You keep that straight Superman face.
That's funny. Moving on to part two of Authoritative Action, number 504. What goes down in that issue, man?
Well, Bob, the Fantastic Four discover a nuclear catch hidden deep beneath Latveria.
Indeed, indeed. And we also get a little bit more of a geography lesson in this issue. We talk about Hungary, we talk about Romania, and we talk about a little nation called Samarkia, which is, just to make sure, imaginary like Latveria. But do you remember what significance Samarkia has in the Marvel U?
No, Bob, but I was going to be a smart person and just go Google it and stuff, and then I did, and it was this longest Wikipedia entry I've ever seen. Someone has gone into great detail to highlight Samarkia like it's an actual country. You could look at it and people could buy real estate there. They've got the longitude, latitude, everything you'd ever want to know about this place. And I just I couldn't go down that big of a rabbit hole. So please just
figure out. Did you figure out if the schools are good, Matt? Did you have a future in the Samarkand school system?
I don't know, Bob. I mean, how do they treat their teachers? Do they respect them like they do? And was it Finland? That's the place everybody wants to go to.
Yeah, I think it's Finland. In Samarkia, it's the home of Silver Sable, the mercenary. And so I'm surprised that they went into that level of detail for the home of Silver Sable. But yeah, that's why it's important.
Her name came up a bunch, so I probably could have put that together. Bob, this issue, one thing we left out in the last issue that I really should highlight is how Reed declares his nation. He takes his Fantastic Four uniform off and uses it as a flag, folks. That's how he signals this to everybody. But he doesn't just signal it to the people of Latveria. This is how he signals it to his family. So this issue, the second part, is really about that, them just reacting to Reed doing something insane.
He doesn't maybe immediately say this in this issue, but he basically has declared himself the new king of Latveria.
Exactly. It's cool, but it's also crazy. And he's not including his family in these decisions. He's just doing it himself.
As you brought up in your favorite panel in 503, Matt, for my favorite panel in 504, a lot of Latverian protesters in these issues, you know, people want Doom back. They don't believe in Reed. And I believe their feelings. But it raised a question for me, and this is maybe bad radio because it's very visual, but there's the weird thing of, you often see protesters have this, but also sports fans, where you have a little sign, a little flat piece of paper or cardboard that's on a stick, but the sign is in the shape of a mask, and you hold that mask in front of your face.
Yes.
And you see that, the protesters doing that with a little Doom mask. Do you have like a word? Do you know a word for a cutout mask you hold on a stick, a sign? It might be one of those things where there's just not a word for it, but maybe there could be or should be.
That's a good question. I would just call it a lazy mask, honest to God. At least the anonymous people put it on their face.
It's ironic that this anarchist hacker collective, they're so committed to the bit that they spend a lot of money buying a branded product.
Operation.
I didn't say I agree with them. I'm just saying at least they put the mask on.
I just wanted to disagree with you.
That's a good segue here because maybe they don't have string. They don't hang people in Latveria. Apparently they just chop their heads off. Because my favorite panel, Bob, is when it's revealed that they've had a guillotine just sitting there.
Look, I have questions about this. This is treated as obviously a bad thing, but we don't know what those Latverians did, Matt.
That's true, Bob. We don't. We really don't.
Maybe they're murderers and molesters, Matt.
Maybe instead of going in and invading Doom's weapons caches, he should go in the computers and just start, hey, what was this guy processed for? Why was this guy's head chopped off? Maybe the decision was good.
Very creepy guillotine room with the blood on the floor, the old blood on the floor and what have you. And then the last thing for me from 504 was Johnny, because Johnny is always the source of dated references of Fantastic Four comic, just inevitably. But he mentions TiVo, and I was, oh, man, I really forgot about TiVo, but it really did call what TV would become, but it was maybe just a little too early for TV. No,
a little too early. Can you still hear the sound, Bob, the little, like, twerp or whatever it was?
I never had TiVo.
I didn't have it either, but I remember the commercials, and the commercial did the chirp that the TiVo would make.
I think I was mostly not watching television by the time TiVo was a thing. I was watching TV only in the form of what I got on DVD.
Back when Netflix would send you DVDs.
Ah, those were the good times. Well, Matt, to move on to issue number 505, what goes down in that issue?
So the Fantastic Four deal with a suicide bomber and some Doom bots, but we need to know, is Reed Richards actually behind all of this?
It's a really suspenseful question, Matt. It's how far has Reed gone? How much has he become Reed Von Richards, as the case may be?
He looks scary looking. He's in Doom's castle. He's getting there. Not hanging out with his family as much. Setting up traps.
Speaking of the politics of Reed in this issue, I had two different favorite panels that both involve the politics. One is there's a really interesting sequence where the Fantastic Four is kind of appalled as Reed does this, which is pretty much the pattern for this whole arc. But Reed invites all these protesters into Castle Von Doom, or Doomstadt, whatever it's called, Castle Doom. And they're wandering around. He's encouraging them to loot, encouraging them to vandalize, take whatever you want. And it actually is an interesting point that he's trying to demystify.
Yeah.
It's just a really interesting overall scenario. And then there's a particularly creepy moment where these two Latverians want the gold frame that's around the portrait of Doom's mother, but they're not willing, disrespecting the former king's mother is so taboo that they're not willing to do it. And so Ben is watching as Reed just tears out the mother's portrait so the two Hyvarians can have the gold frame. That was great.
Reed straight up hates Doom. I mean, hates Doom. This is deep-seated hate. And I like that in the character. And we see this in every iteration so far of the Fantastic Four you've made me read.
It's also nice because it makes what he said to Doom at the end of the last arc unthinkable. I don't know that he knew it was a lie when he said it, but when he tells Doom that he'll just forget him, it's such a lie because he spends this entire arc just obsessed with Doom stuff. He just can't get Doom out of his head. And then on a related note, that my other favorite thing was you see a poster in the background of Doom and Reed, and the poster is asking, would you trade one tyrant for another?
Good question. My favorite panel in this issue, Bob, it's they're discussing how messed up Reed is in the head. And Reed can see his scar reflected in three different mirrors. Which, like, dang, it's getting dark. It's getting deep for him.
All right, triple scar.
It's that final panel, Bob, too, is awesome, where he's got what looks like an ultimate nullifier or some gadget, but I don't care what it is. He's always got that thing in his hand. All his little handhelds look the same. And he's controlling the Doombots. It's awesome.
And then what goes down in issue 506, Matt?
Varia is set to be invaded by Colonel Fury. Reed Richards makes a sacrifice that he believes will stop Doom forever.
Yeah, and my favorite panel of this issue was related to that bit, was Johnny busting through the wall of Castle Doom and calling Reed Mr. Doomtastic, which was pretty funny.
Yeah, mine was a little earlier. When the villagers do understand that the Fantastic Four are there to stop the Doombots and to help them, and they start to cheer for the Fantastic Four. They try to hoist up the thing, and they're struggling to do it. A tiny bit of comedy in this very dark issue.
Yeah, that's another thing Ringo's good at, is like these little background moments of comedy. So what goes down in the penultimate issue, issue number 507?
Well, Bob, Reed has actually trapped himself with Doom in an inescapable prison of his construction.
Yeah, and that sets up my favorite panel because at first, initially, it's Doom thinks he's in hell, but then Reed reveals that it's a holographic projection, and then we actually see he's made up this little pocket dimension prison for himself and for Doom, and pasted all around the walls of the chamber of this little pocket dimension room are old Kirby panels from the original Fantastic Four run. And so there's just, you see a lot of great pages, but I think the first page where you get the reveal is my favorite, of just all these Kirby panels wallpapering around Doom and Reed. It's a really cool visual effect.
It's so rare that they do this in comics where they'll show you like actual art from other artists in it. And it doesn't fit the style or the tone of the book. I can't think of another time that, I know they've done it in Batman at some point. I just can't think off the top of my head when.
Yeah, they do it time to time, but you're right. It is something it seems people, understandably, are pretty hesitant to do.
Right, because it could go way wrong if you don't do it right. But in this context, you're talking about a history of a character, and they're going to be stuck there for the rest of their lives. Might as well have greatest hits all over the place.
And yeah, it is another great visual representation of how obsessed Reed has become about Doom and about their relationship and their rivalry.
Well, Bob, unfortunately, we knew that Doom was eventually going to get out. It's always going to happen. So the little piece of Doom that was still alive has managed to transfer its soul into Sue Storm. And my favorite panel is this multi-kill by Sue Storm on these guys. She's dangerous.
Yeah, and there's a great little bit of dialogue, I think, a little earlier than that, where Doom says something like, I always thought she was the most powerful.
Exactly. I mean, this shows that she can really do way more than she's letting on.
There is, I don't think it's bad, but I don't think it's necessarily would make for great podcasting. But there is, if I'm remembering correctly, an Invisible Woman miniseries from maybe about 5 years ago that Mark Waid did, where she just goes on spy missions for Fury.
Oh, wow.
An interesting little side document to this run.
That could be cool. I didn't even thought about that. Her own little mercenary Sue Storm or something.
The suburban super scientist mom occasionally moonlights as an espionage agent for Nick Fury. What goes down in the climax of our story in issue 508?
Well, Bob, Dr. Doom possesses multiple members of the Fantastic Four, and that eventually results in the death of Ben Grimm.
My favorite panel is earlier in the issue where we still have Doom possessing Sue before he starts possessing Ben. But we have Doom possessing Sue, and he sees the FF flag over Castle Doom, and his reaction to that is just priceless, I thought.
Right. I mean, you can just imagine seeing your arch nemesis becoming you. Isn't that weird?
I was going to make an interesting point that I forgot about. Earlier, I hadn't remembered that the flag was actually Reed Richards' FF shirt. The symbolism is interesting there of him taking off the FF emblem and taking on more Doom-like costumes for most of this arc. It is just interesting that, man, like, superhero comics really do love to turn, like, the shirts of the heroes into flags, right? I'm thinking about all the times, like, Batman and Superman's cape or Superman's shirt have become flags.
The death of Superman with his cape. Bob, my favorite panel in this final issue is when Thing Doom, that's Doom-possessing Thing, goes Bane on Johnny while yelling, Richard! There's just so much going on there. It just looks so cool.
It's great. And you have Reed and Sue begging with a Thing to try to exert himself and expel Doom or restrain Doom, and it's just not working.
So it ends up with basically Nick Fury just shooting a hole. Actually, Reed takes the gun and shoots a hole in Thing.
We have a really great cliffhanger of, like, we jump ahead. I can't remember. I think they say a month. And we have Sue coming back to check on Reed, and he's like, this is intolerable. I'm going to resurrect him. And I do like that there's no fooling around with this. It's within the same issue, Reed's definitely going to bring this guy back.
Don't worry, guys. Thing will be back. It's okay. Just keep reading the issues. This isn't the end. We knew that. You can't have the Fantastic Four without the four main cast for a very long time. We saw that in the other run that you had me read, where Human Torch dies. Which is a common trend I'm seeing in these, Bob.
It's pretty common. They kill off Mr. Fantastic in the early 90s. Although they keep him gone, I think, for about a year.
Oh, wow. Okay. So has Sue ever died?
I can't remember.
Because you got in the 90s, you got him dying. In the early aughts, you got Thing dying. Towards the mid-aughts, you got Human Torch stuff.
I guess also it might have been the second death of the Thing.
Oh.
Been an earlier death of the Thing.
Yeah, this has been interesting. I knew something was going to happen the way they were building up everything, but yeah, I didn't know it was going to. I wasn't expecting the death of another Fantastic Four member. So I read the rest of this run, Bob. Are we going to read the rest of this run?
I was thinking we should do the follow-up one, which is Volume 4 hereafter, 509 to 513. I was thinking we should do that as one episode.
Okay.
To see how the Thing gets resurrected. One, I think, is an Avengers Disassembled trade, and then one is a more Johnny-focused Thing called Rising Storm. I was thinking we could probably just do those two in one episode.
Okay.
I want to reread them and see what I think as I'm reading them. If you really don't want to do them, or if you have a thought about how to specifically to do them, I'm open.
Oh, I definitely want to do them, but I'm just going to give our listeners a heads up. The next arc definitely changed my ranking of where we need to put this on our ranking chart.
I thought it might, but I don't remember the next three arcs that specifically. But I think I knew going into this that you would probably like Unthinkable and Authoritative Action, and then you probably wouldn't be a fan of the end of the run.
We'll talk about it, and I'll go back and I'll give it. I've already read it once because I was so hooked on the cliffhanger. I'll go back and reread it again this week, Bob, and then when we do our episode next week, maybe my opinion will change a little, but we'll say as of right now, we'll see.
So next week, tentatively, listeners, next week we're planning on doing Fantastic Four's 509 through 513, which is Volume 4 hereafter. And then also, Matt, guess what drops next week?
Hush.
Hush, Matt. Hush.
Finally! Sit on the edge of my seat.
So that means we'll also do the first trade of Streets of Gotham, Hush Money.
I didn't understand the assignment a couple of weeks ago, so I already read it. Yes, we need to discuss it. 100%. We are going to discuss it.
I was going to say is the first trade is the first four issues of Streets of Gotham, and then it's Detective 852 and Batman 685. I don't know how necessary those two are.
Oh, I'll check on those others, but I read everything that Paul Denny did. I've got the whole omnibus, and I've read it. I'm just, yeah, we definitely need to read it. I think we're going to have some good discussion.
Oh. Matt, are you saying we should be glad that we went ahead and ranked Paul Dini's Detective Comics run as separate from his Streets of Gotham?
I'm not going to say, Bob. I just want to make it clear that there's some memorable things in the Streets of Gotham run that I may or may not agree.
Okay. Joy. Well, yeah. Listeners, next week, stay tuned. More Mark Waid, Mike Ruringo, Fantastic Four, more Hush coverage. This is Uncanny Treks. I'm Bob in Cascadia. That's Matt in the Southland. Have a great night, everybody.
Thanks for listening.